oil things around where I live, lots of them. And the boys asked me one day what they were. Big mistake. So I came up with this elaborate story. I was bored. And I said, they're cow launchers. Because they look like the pedestal where a space shuttle launches. I told them they were cow launchers. And the kids, you know, I was explaining. They're like, well, how does it? And I was going. I had them going for like 10 minutes before I finally felt bad and I said something. But I was like, you know, so they stick the cow. They you know, get them on a platform. And then you ever hear that the cow jumped over the moon? And he's like, and they're like, yeah. And I says, well, that's how they do it. They launch them from knees, you know. So the boys are just like eating this crap up. And I know it's like bull. And so I'm just going back with it. And then I tell them that, you know, they're cow launchers. And I came up with this whole like background story of it and everything else. And so I told them, no, I'm just kidding. It's, you know, it's actually for oil. There's nothing to do with cows. And so now, whenever we go past one, much to Mary's irritation, they say, cow launcher! And they yell and point. And then she just grins and gives me this dirty look. And then just, like, the kids drop it, I drop it. But it's still funny because they call it a cow launcher.
That's hilarious.
What a gullible. What an in-cow poop.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
So, this is episode 399. You're one away from 400.
Yay! I like 400.
And tonight we've got a bunch of stories here, just some fun sort of things. And then the last story is fun, but it's more of, hey, yay, we won kind of thing. Again, I mentioned in the most recent episode of GCR how I have the Google feed thing on my Pixel 6 Pro. And I think this is how I found this story. This is from comicbook.com. Highway Patrol mistakenly sent out Batman and Joker themed alert message.
I'm sorry, but if I got this, I would be like, blast! The Joker's on the loose. Even though it's the wrong Joker, it's still.
Yeah. This was from January 20th of this year, 2022. This was in Missouri. And I'm going to read this, folks, because I have to. Some Missouri residents were very confused when they got an alert about Batman and the Joker recently. On the 18th of January, the Highway Patrol for the state sent out a push notification that concerned a purple and green 1978 Dodge 3700 GT. Tim Burton fans will recognize this is the car that the Joker drove in the 1989 movie. Also curious was the mention of Gotham City in the alert. Twitter users began to Google and see if there really was a city within the same name as the DC Comics location. When nothing lined up, most people assumed that it was a false alarm and had a quick laugh. Well, the Missouri Highway Patrol actually put out a statement to clarify what went wrong. It would seem as though it was a test of the alert system and someone checked the wrong box in the software.
There may be skullduggery ahead.
The fact that someone thought to put that in there was funny.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm looking at the Twitter post. This was meant to be a test message. There was no alert. Oh, man. That's hilarious. And most everybody pays for streaming these days, folks. And once again, Netflix is raising their prices on all U.S. plans.
Gee, how mighty nice of them. You know, everybody else is coming out with their own streaming service. And then what do? Continue mm-hmm. to raise prices. Because honestly, there isn't enough choices out there. Like,
Really.
I don't understand their reasoning. Get it, because it costs a lot of money to run a streaming service and all that bandwidth and the internet and everything else. But the part of it is, like, I don't give a rip about 4K, to be honest. Yeah. I really don't. So for the extra money, I'm like, HD is plenty fine for me.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that they limit, you know, I think the lower tier, the standard one, they lower it so you can only use two devices to download content to. Whereas if you have the higher one, you can do four.
Yeah. I have to see what I have.
It would be nice, just because my kids, my wife, and myself, it would be nice to have it. But at the same time.
Well, you're a family of four.
Different situation. So. It's mine is for screeners and stuff like that. I use it for other stuff, for review, as we find things to review on various animated shows.
Speaking of which, we actually do.
Yes.
March 3rd, 2022, season 2 of the CGI He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will hit Netflix.
Yeah.
So this is coming from The Verge, and they basically outline the price hikes since 2011. In 2011, the only thing they had was the standard HD two-screen plan, and it was $7.99. I remember I had this plan. At some point, when Karen and I got together and whatever else, we switched over to her Netflix as a family plan thing. So now that she's no longer here, I switched back to mine, because I don't want to be using a dead person's Netflix account. That just, no. So anyway, they go through these things of the plans here, starting in 2014. So from 2014 to from April of 2014 to January of 2022, there was a basic no HD one screen plan. Started at $7.99, went up to $8.99, and then it is now $9.99 in January of 2022. The plan that I've had my whole Netflix time went from $7.99 to $8.99, $9.99, $10.99, $12.99, $13.99, and it is now $15.49. Why it's $15.49 is beyond me. And then the premium 4K four-screen plan was not available in 2011. In 2013 is when it started at $11.99. It went up in 2017 to $13.99. In 2019 to $15.99. Last year it went up to $17.99. And now this year it's $19.99. Now look, if you want the 4K thing and you have four screens and you have four different people in your family that are all going to want to watch different crap, and they all want that 4K experience, and they all have 4K TVs in their bedrooms, fine, great, it's worth it. It's just me. I watch it on my TV in the bedroom. I may watch it on my phone. Half the time I'm watching it on my computer. So I think I am on the standard HD 2 screen at $15.49. It is what it is, folks. I don't know. But I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I mean, the streaming
There's going to come a point where the streaming market's going to crash at some point, because it's different than cable in the sense that, yes, you can continually add all of the shows that you want to watch, and yes, they're all on demand. And, you know, granted, I'm a little peeved with some of them because they're missing certain shows that are on, should be on their service, that they own the rights to, and they're not. So they're to that excuse, like, I don't know what their excuse is for that. However, that being said, I have a lot of issues with the variety of services being out there, just because you know, you've got your HBO, you've got your Paramount, you've got your Netflix, your Hulu, your Disney, your there's so many of them. There's so many of them that some of them, you know, NBC, I at least have to give them props because they have a lot of their stuff for free.
Yeah.
With ads.
Yeah.
So you're still, it's like watching cable. Okay. Yeah. I can sit through the ads. Like it's, you know, just like Tubi. I can watch that. I can get past the ads.
Yeah.
What I can't get past is the fact that they're all like gatekeeping.
Yeah. You're an Xfinity customer, right?
Yes.
So am I. So the Peacock, whatever, it's supposed to come with it, and it does, the NBC app thing. And, you know, that's fine. Like you just said, that's fine. If it comes at no additional cost, I don't mind doing the ads. But if I am paying for a service, the whole reason why I'm paying for it is ad-free content. I hope this pops up again soon, but I had had a YouTube Premium perk from my Google Play Store thing or whatever, and I got YouTube Premium for 3 months for free to try out. And I'm like, YouTube without ads? This is amazing. How much does this cost? It's like $11.99 a month or something or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not looking at it up right at the top of my head. Recently, they offered me something where it was like, you can pay this or you can pay this yearly. Right now, where I am with my streaming, if I can get all of my streaming stuff for a yearly cost and I only have to pay for it once a year, that's where I am. I have no interest in any cable packages whatsoever. I already switched my Disney Plus subscription over to a year, so I won't get charged for that until November, December of this year again. I wish Netflix and Hulu had yearly. They don't. It sucks. Actually, what sucks about Hulu is they have it on the ad version of it, but they don't have it for the ad-free version, which makes no damn sense. I don't know. It's a whole thing. We're always going to be talking about this because it's always changing. It's always morphing into something and whatever else. I guess you just got to pick the services you want and to hell with the rest of them.
Sure.
And then over on Kotaku, YouTuber hit with ungodly number of anime copyright strikes gets a win for everyone. You want to talk about this? Because you brought this one to us.
Well, I found this. I'd watched this when this originally happened.
Mm-hmm.
This particular article about the YouTuber that got hit with the like 150 copyright strikes,
right?
By Toei Animation, and the guy reviews anime,
right?
And you know, he would show clips of it, or he'd show, you know, just brief, you know, to discuss it and kind of converse about it, and he would just basically review it, you know, like any of us do.
Right.
And because the rules over in that side of the world are a little bit different on their copyright,
yeah,
as opposed to here.
Yeah.
Toei Animation decided to basically they gamed the system because there's no possible way, like, it for the amount of time, like they were like instantly 150 copyright strikes. All of the videos were taken down. They used some kind of service to kind of pull it off.
Right.
And so anyways, it left him in this weird legal battle, and the fact that, you know, this is how he makes his living of, you know, doing the reviews. And he's like, I, you know, if these don't get brought back up, I'm either A, never going to do stuff for them again, he says, or B, you know, I'm just going to retire completely because it would ruin him. Those videos, do you know how long it takes to get an appeal?
A long time.
It's 30. It's like, he said it would take him over like 38 years.
Oh, Jesus.
To appeal all of the videos or something close to that.
Wow.
And so they, you know, the animation company contacted YouTube directly, upping those 150 strikes to full takedown notices before.
Oh, Jesus.
Before emailing him. And so, you know, so basically he got a hold of somebody higher up in YouTube. And, yeah. You know, they had requested for YouTube not to block his content, but to completely delete it off his channel, which would result in the termination of his account. And so, you know, YouTube honored the request to, you know, they decided not to honor Toei's removal request because that would violate the platform's fair use copyright policy. Right. Instead, YouTube asked the animation studio to provide further justification for his channel receiving the takedown notices. Rather than providing YouTube with evidence, Toei Animation used the website's automated reporting tools to manually claim and block all those videos. So, you know, there was basically a lot of phone tag between Toei, the Japanese YouTube team, the American YouTube team, the guy from the YouTube channel, and then his contact. And so, you know, regarding the situation, and then Toei ended up providing a new list of 86 videos of the original 150 or so that the company deemed should not remain on YouTube. And so, yeah, there was a lot of back and forth anyways. And Japan's copyright law is a little bit less robust in their interpretation of fair use.
Right.
So if they were to have fought it, it would have probably lost. But that's where YouTube's new legal innovation comes in, that they created specifically because of this case. And they apologize that the whole situation happened in the first place, which is good for this guy. Like, he's still a little burned out, but understandably. But basically, YouTube's new copyright rule allows owners like Toei to have videos removed from, say, Japan's YouTube site, but said videos will remain up in other territories as long as they fall under the country's fair use policies.
Right.
So in other words, it's up to the individual country's fair use policies. So because the United States has such a high use of fair use, basically it allows that them to stay up. And so, to have videos removed from the places with more allowances for fair use, companies would have to argue their cases following the copyright laws of those territories. So basically, if they got butthurt about it, you know, Toei Animation could have it removed from the Japanese YouTube, but it would stay up around the rest of the world, which honestly isn't that bad of a deal. It will basically also affect this new fair use thing will fare well for impacting small content creators as well. Yeah, I'm happy that they're, you know, this is the first instance that YouTube is applying the rule to its copyright policy, and that they're finally kind of learning and combating all of this, because it's just, I don't know, it's just crappy for them to do that. You know, yeah. Paramount tried doing that to me a number of years ago when I first started Alter Geek as a video show.
Yeah.
And then I started doing a little bit of conversation on the YouTube channel, just basically doing like the 3 minute or 10 minute blitz, but doing like just top three pick of the week. And I talked about, I think it was Star Trek IV, and I used official promo images released by the company that were meant for news and press purposes.
Oh.
And I even had cited them. And they still flagged my video with a takedown and gave me a strike. And I emailed them back very politely. And I was like, hey, you know, it's fine. You know, you want to strike me for using a picture of a movie that had been out for 3 years.
Jesus.
And I was like, you know, it's fine. I won't review anything that comes from your company ever again, and I've been reviewing stuff from your company for years, and I'm a huge Trek fan, but you know, you do you. And they immediately reversed the strike and apologized, and that was the end of it.
Wow. Yeah, I don't, okay, so I don't know, fair use is fair use. It is what it is. But as we've talked about on this show and on other shows recently, we've learned over the last 13, 14, 15 years that, you know, little bits, you know, it's like Super Shredder at the end of TMNT 2. In smaller doses through future mutants, you know, kind of thing. Like, being copyright stricken for a picture, that's... that's a head scratcher. That's just crazy.
I don't know. That's as bad as people that, you know, they name their podcast and don't do the research.
True. And the funny thing is that, you know, I go on YouTube and I subscribe to various things and I watch various things. Like and I'm not trying to call these people out, but, you know, because I don't do much video gaming anymore, I like watching playthroughs. How in the hell do any of these damn video game companies not strike down some of these YouTubers who do, like, just straight playthroughs? Like, they're, like, okay, so recently I've been on a Metal Gear Solid kick, so I watched some, I watched this channel called Long Play Archive, I believe it is, and whomever the person, like, they're not doing commentary on it, they're just playing the game and just streaming it, you know, kind of thing. Like, I found out recently because I had a Samsung Galaxy S9 before I upgraded, but with the Google Pixel 6 Pro, and I think I mentioned this on one of our other episodes of Altered Geek, if I wanted to stream me playing Minion Rush, I could do so to YouTube. Okay? Am I going to do that? No, probably not. I mean, whatever, but, like, I see all these Let's Plays and long plays of just people playing the game all the way through. And, hey, I'm glad I can watch that stuff. That's great. At the same time, I'm thinking to myself, I'm glad that they aren't getting copyright stricken, but how the hell are they not getting copyright stricken? Because they're streaming a video game. I don't understand that whole aspect of it. So if somebody is listening to the sound of my voice, they could tell me why that is. Hey, great. You know, I'm glad that they can still do it. But, yeah, I mean, it's like we talked about last time about the Twitch chick that got struck or got banned from Twitch for streaming some anime or something kind of thing. You know,
and I think it might have even been something from the same company, which wouldn't surprise me.
Probably. I don't know.
I
think it was Avatar from Nickelodeon, but anyway.
Yeah, that was what it was. But either way. It's crappy and, like, poor practice. Like, oh, yeah, let's take them down instead of just like, hey, how about we have a conversation?
Yeah.
Be decent human beings, talk to each other and say, hey, you know, is there something that we can work out between the two of us instead of, you know, creating this dynamic where it's basically you're burning bridges? Because no matter how you... you shake it, the company is going to look worse than the person doing the deed.
Yeah. I mean, I can look on my own YouTube channel right now, and I can tell you that I'm surprised I have this many, but I have... oh, I lost a subscriber. I wonder who unsubscribed. At the time, before I checked it just now, I had 671 subscribers. I've only been doing YouTube content since somewhere in 2009, and it's... I started out doing it as like, hey, this is what I got today or this is what I got this week. And it was like DVDs I was buying or whatever, or I've done some Shout Factory video reviews or whatever. But most of the content that is on my YouTube channel is like audio stuff from some of our old podcasts. Like, I think I have all 5 or 6 parts of the Top 100 Animated Series on there, that kind of thing. I have 670 subscribers. I don't meet the requirements for monetization anymore because they've updated it in the last X number of years, whatever. I don't care. So I'm not taking anything away from anybody if I stream a game. Like, I'm not getting paid by YouTube for streaming Minion Rush kind of thing. Not that I'm going to do that, but I'm saying, like, I am such a small potato, why would somebody want to come after me kind of thing? And most of the bigger potatoes, or most of the bigger people on YouTube, normally they will go through proper channel, like, you know, insert tech YouTuber here. and they have a specific intro with specific music and a whole video layout and whatever else, well, I'm sure they go to that person and say, hey, can I use this song in my video? And you'll get, you know what I mean? Like, it's a yeah. reciprocal thing. So, like, you know, I don't know, man. It just, YouTube's, all, I'm glad that this guy won his thing. That's awesome. That's great for all of us. But it's always just been, this is why I prefer audio podcasting. I don't need to.
Well, and it's flaky there, too.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. But, you know, in general, just the production of audio podcasting versus video production is, yeah. Anything else we want to bring up? Anything else strike your fancy? Let me step over to my Google feed. Let's see. Marvel reveals new Spider-Man logo representing all three Spider-Men. Okay. That is kind of cool.
What is
it? It's on the Spider-Man logo thing. I'll have to send it to you on Facebook. It's representing all of the Marvel movie spiders.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but, and I know I haven't talked about it on here at this point. I loved No Way
Home. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I cannot wait to review the Spider films. I've actually rewatched all of them recently because of it.
Well, I asked on Twitter. I didn't ask somebody specifically. I just put a general tweet and a general Facebook post out there. What in the hell's the difference between Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 2.1? And most people said it's like additional footage, it's this, it's that, it's whatever. And I looked it up myself. So Spider-Man 2.1, an extended cut of the film entitled Spider-Man 2.1 was released April 17, 2007. The cut includes 8 minutes of new footage with new special features not included in the original release, as well as a sneak preview of the then upcoming Spider-Man 3. So we are going to be reviewing the Raimi trilogy, the amazing films, and the non/MCU movies. I don't know how to quantify the Garfield films. Basically, we're going to do one podcast episode per actor. Maguire,
Garfield, and Holland.
And Holland over on Studio 2009. Because I wanted to see, like, for me, half the time how I get some of these movies is I will purchase them on Vudu because I have a Vudu account and it's just easy for me to do that. And Vudu most of the time does bundles, so you don't have to buy each individual movie. You just pay for one thing and you get 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. Well, the Vudu bundle has Spider-Man 2, 2.1 and 3, and I'm like, wait a minute. What the frag is the difference? So probably when we go and do the Raimi films, we're probably going to go off the Spider-Man 2.1 version of Spider-Man 2 because it has all the extra stuff. And just because I think it's a little cooler. That's coming up over on Studio 2009 later this year. God, it has been 20 years. May 3rd of this year, it'd be 20 years since I was in the theater all day long. I saw Spider-Man 5 times the day it came out. I just sat in the theater and just waited for them to restart the movie. There was a lot going on back in 2002, folks. Oh, man. So good. So good. Anything else you want to bring up, sir?
I don't think so. Yeah, right. I think that's about it. Yeah. So if you guys have something that you'd like to hear on a future episode of Altered Geek, let us know. Tune in next time on episode 400, where hopefully we'll have something exciting and something fun to discuss. And I would like to have listener feedback and possibly some some listener suggestions to kind of go over, but you can email us feedback at geekcastradio.com. You can find us on the Twitters, myself at SCP21 or at Steve Phillips VO, and yourself, sir.
I'm at TF2 and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for the network and at Altered Geek for the show.
So until next time, we've been
Steve Megatron
and TF2 and Mike. Get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
I don't know why I said it that way. I'm losing brain cells.
It's backwards day.
Block it out and power on through.